Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsive day for the 6th of Kislev. Today we're going to study a responsive of the Tzitz Eliezer all about whether it's okay to become a firefighter, but it's actually a tshuva, a responsive that deals with the general question of is Jew allowed to put himself or herself in the position of eventually needing to save lives, and issues that come up relevant to that, and what one isn't allowed to do in terms of taking jobs that might eventually require violating certain parts of the Torah, where at the moment of violation it will be okay because it will be saving lives, but one could also have chosen a different profession. So that's going to be from Tzitz Eliezer, Volume 7, response number 20, from the 6th of Kislev of Tafshin Chaf Bet of 5722, which was 1961. And he's writing to the rabbi of Pardis Chana, a man named Rav Yehoshua Zelig Diskin, who I don't know for sure, but it sounds like he's probably a descendant of Yehoshua Leib Diskin. And it's funny to watch people who carry these famous names and to wonder about how their lives went. Meaning, if you're born with a certain name and you get a certain name that's very close to a very famous person's name, how does that affect your perception of yourself? So this man is a Rav, Pardi Skada, maybe a wonderful Rav, a great Rav, and he writes a letter to the Tzitz Eliezer. So in 1961, the Tzitz Eliezer was 45 years old. He's already published the 7th volume of Responsa of Tzitz Eliezer, which is quite a head start on publishing 22 of them over the course of his very long and productive life. And so he sits down that night, he says, to answer whether or not a person who is Shomer Mitzvot, right, a person who is observant, who keeps Halacha, is allowed to take a job in a fire station, the job as a firefighter, because the problem is, one of the problems is that not every time that you get called on a Shabbos or Yom Tov is it definitely pikuach nefesh, is it really saving lives? And whenever they're called, they have to be mechal Shabbos. They go and they violate Shabbat to get to the place because they don't know what's going on. So the local council says that his working on Shabbos, in fact, or on a Yom Tov, is not really a responsibility of the job, although I think it seems to be that it clearly is. It's that they think of that as a volunteer attachment to a job which has regular hours and it's only during the week, and when he's volunteering, that's because it's saving lives or it's providing security of some sort, and other than fires, he's really off on Shabbos or Chag, on Shabbos or holidays. Cecilia says the question actually divides into two issues. One is, can a Jew take a job or a position which will eventually require him or her to be mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh? That's a general question. That would be true of doctors, for example, as well. And even, by the way, with doctors, just an example of this is not me, this is not, this is talking, it's me talking, but I remember a question that comes with doctors that's not, it's related to this one, I think, would be, let's say, granted that a Jew becomes a doctor and therefore is going to need to violate Shabbat to save lives on certain points, what about living far enough from the hospital that every time the Jew has to go to the hospital, he or she has to violate Shabbat, as opposed to living close enough to the hospital that he or she could walk there? So that seems to be a relevant question as well, meaning that's an added level of pikuach nefesh. So let's say the doctor gets a call, has to drive into the hospital, because it's pikuach nefesh. And also, sometimes what doctor gets called into the hospital, maybe it won't be exactly pikuach nefesh. Sometimes the doctor gets called on the phone, it won't exactly be pikuach nefesh. That's very relevant to this firefighter. He's dealing with a firefighter, that's the question. That's question number one. Can the Jew take a position, take a job, which requires the Jew later on to violate jobs for it? And question number two, he says, is, in general, can we put out fires on Shabbat? Especially if it's done by machinery, and also to what extent you'd like to put out a fire. Because putting out a fire on Shabbat in general, let's suppose I have a fire that is completely contained somewhere, but I just want to put it out. It's completely contained. The only thing it's going to do is going to burn. Whatever it is, but it's in a fire pit, so it's this. I want to put it out. Can I put it out? That's a violation of Shabbat. That is a prohibition, of kibbuy, of putting out fires. Not allowed to do it. So today, putting out fires is something you're allowed to do. That's not a doctor's question, right? That doesn't come up in other cases at all. Can one put out fires? So in the Gemara's time, it's very clear. In the Mishnah time, it's very clear that let's suppose a house went on fire. You weren't allowed to put it out. You weren't allowed to put it out because the assumption of the Mishnah, the Gemara, we'll talk about it in the course of this responsive, was that it's just a fire. and it's just burning possessions. And to save our possessions, so you're allowed to take out food for Shabbos. You're allowed to have people come and take things out for you. There's a whole discussion about what you're allowed to do in terms of saving as much money as you can. But the mission in the Gemara, the theory of can you put out a fire to save whatever it is you're saving, that wasn't clear. So he says, so we should talk about, are we allowed today to put out fires? We'll get to it. So, to answer the first question, he says, it's a machloket, he says it's a well-known machloket, obviously he means well-known to people like him and this Rav and Pardes Chana, who were great Torah scholars, or at least greater Torah scholars than we might be. He says, it's a machloket between the Rav Zrachi HaLevi, the Baal Hamor, and the Ramban. So, the Baal Hamor and the Ramban are, the Ramban, everybody, more people know, but the Baal Hamor and the Ramban were important commentators on the Rif. When the Rif, sorry, the Rif is published off. It published in the back of many editions of the Gemara, and the Rif took the Gemara and turned it into a halacha book in ways we don't have to talk about right now. But basically, he rewrote the Gemara, including mostly the halachic discussions. The Rif became a very popular book. A couple of hundred years after the Rif wrote, the Baal Hamor living in the Provence, for reasons that I think historians debate, an important historian who's no longer living, named Yisrael Tashba, Alav Shalom, suggested that the Baal Hamor wasn't really writing to critique the Rif. He was writing to say that their customs in Provence and their view of halakha in Provence was sometimes different and also legitimate. Whether or not that's true, he wrote very sharply, and he wrote his opinions, you know, as glosses on the Rif some places, and the Ramban, who does this in other places as well, wrote to defend the Rif's view. So in Shabbat, on page Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet 134b, the Baal Hamor and the Ramban disputed a question of, let's suppose, and this is going to be relevant because it's a question of, can we do something that then requires us later to violate Shabbat? In the time of the mission of the Gemara, when one circumcised a baby, let's suppose a baby boy is born 8 days before, really, he's born on Shabbos, so this is bris, is supposed to be Shabbos. So in the time of the mission of the Gemara, the way that you helped a baby who had just had a brit milah recover and be well was you washed the baby in hot water. So getting hot water on Shabbat would involve cooking the water, heating the water, which is a form of cooking, and that's not allowed. So the thing to do was you prepared water beforehand and you heated it up and you kept it hot like we would to do today. So what happens if the water either wasn't prepared or was spilled? Spilled is a better one, because if it wasn't prepared, you say, oh, well, they didn't do the right thing. Let's say it got spilled in some way, it got or spilled or used, or it's not there anymore, and now you have this kid, and you want to do the Brit Milah, and it's Milah Bismana, right? It's a Milah at the right time, so you want to do the Brit Milah. So whether you're, are you allowed to do it or not? So there's a whole long discussion in the post-scheme, there's a debate, so the Tzitzkeser is only saying this is relevant to that, because that's also, if I have a situation where I'm going to put somebody into a situation of needing a violation of Shabbat, am I allowed to do that or not? It's a machloket. I think the Baal Hamor thinks you're allowed to, the Ramban thinks you're not allowed to, I think, but I don't remember exactly. It's not clear in the tshuva. But he says, he's going to just point out, the Chasam Sofer says, and the Teret Chachamim say, another sefer of tshuva, of discussions of halacha, that if putting oneself into danger on Shabbos itself for the purpose of a mitzvah, that will then later require Chilul Shabbos, they say that it's okay. So if that's true, that they hold that, yes, it's okay if it's a mitzvah, right? So that they're saying that we're going to paskin that, yes, in fact, even though the milah, even though the circumcision will now require violating Shabbat to save the baby's life by washing it, by heating up water and washing the baby, washing the boy in hot water, we think it's okay. If that's true, says the Ezra, that's true on Shabbos itself when it's already Shabbos. It's already prohibited to heat this water, and yet we're gonna circumcise the baby and then have to heat water. Nonetheless, that's what we hold halacha. So if that's true, that one is, for the mitzvah purposes, one is allowed to put oneself in situation that will eventually have to violate Shabbat, that should clearly be true if it's going to be before Shabbat, and that we should allow it. And that should be true, he thinks, even for a davar harishut, even if it's not something that's an absolute mitzvah. So, and if it's true for a davar harishut, it's all the more true, he says, for certainly for a parnasah, for making a living. So that's an interesting middle ground. Is making a living a mitzvah, or is it just you're doing whatever you want to do? So he's saying, basically, before Shabbos, if I do something and it's going to later put me in a situation needing pikuach nefesh, and we'll get to an example in a second, and I'm just doing it for the fun of it, he thinks that's probably allowed because I'm doing it before Shabbos, and therefore it's allowed. That's a discussion of its own. I don't think it's so clear that his reasoning is true. I don't think everybody would accept that idea. I think it's more true that everybody would accept that on Shabbos itself, if there's a mitzvah presenting itself to you that will later require pikuach nefesh, that's allowed. Here, this middle ground is the person doesn't do it for a living. So for this man to make a living as a firefighter, he needs to bear the likelihood that on some Shabbatot, he will need to violate Shabbat. So he thinks that's considered letzorech mitzvah. That's for the needs of a mitzvah, and therefore, for making a living, and therefore it should be okay. And he says, I'm sorry, so it's the Balamor who thought you wouldn't ordinarily be allowed to do it. He says, not only that, he thinks here the Balamor would agree, that it would accept it, because there's no exact, because at the time that he's doing something, there's no necessity there's going to, meaning on Shabbat, when one does the Milah, it's an absolute certainty that the baby will need hot water. But here, when the firefighter signs up for the job, it's not an absolute certainty that this Shabbat or that Shabbat or that Shabbat there'll be a need to violate Shabbat. So it says he thinks that even the Baal HaMor would agree that it's uncertain enough that he's allowed to do it. And he finds, he says there's a Beis Ephraim, which was an important halachic work. Shut Beit Ephraim, I'm pretty sure. Shehiz Bir Bechazot Shitat HaRivash, was a Rivash from a Tshuva, where the Rivash says, and this is an example of, this is not a mitzvah anymore necessarily. Let's say somebody wants to take a trip on a boat that's going to run through Shabbat. So the halacha is that if you get on the boat 3 days before Shabbat, even if it's not for any particular mitzvah purposes, and even if afterwards, now we don't today generally have to do this, but even if afterwards one is certainly going to have to violate Shabbat to keep the boat going, to keep things running well, and let's say the Jew's going to have to do it, so the Rivash said it was okay, and he said that follows the opinion of the Baal HaMor. So it sounds like, and he says that, and the explanation of the Beit Ephraim is that Pikuach Nefesh is different on when it violates Shabbat, because once the need arises, he says it's a Heter Gamur, and therefore, even though the person is causing, before Shabbat, causing himself or herself to be in the situation of needing it, so then it's allowed though when it comes up, and therefore you're allowed to do it. So those become interesting questions that come up. Now, it happens to be the 3 days thing is interesting, because one of the reasons why ideally people are supposed to, if they're going to take cruises or boat trips that are going to continue on Shabbat, that ideally they're supposed to leave before 3 days before Shabbat, is that in fact, if it's within 3 days of Shabbat, there we say it's not so clear that one's allowed to put oneself in the position that they know. There are other reasons on halacha why it might be. It might not be a pikuach nefesh issue there that we're worried about, the need to violate Shabbat for saving lives, but it comes up in the situation. So Tzeliezer is taking it to be, and I'm not here to question, I'm just saying, Tzeliezer is taking it to be, that is evidence that before Shabbat, enough before Shabbat, so here, since this firefighter doesn't know which Shabbat it's going to be a problem, so it would suggest that it is considered enough before Shabbat, that it's not obvious that one is putting oneself in the position of having to violate this Shabbat, the Pikuach Nefesh, it seems okay to allow oneself to go into that position. He also points out to a shit called Torah Chesed, and the shit Torah Chesed has a long discussion where he says that there's no problem with doing something that we know that afterwards will coerce us into violating a mitzvah aseh or a lo taseh. That's a general proposition. Shit Torah Chesed held to that perspective. So I just looked it up because I wanted to know. The Torah Chesed were Shneir Zalman Friedkin, who was born in Ladi, but lived in much of his life in Lublin, and then when he was 62, in 1892, moved to Yerushalayim. He was an original Lubavitch Chassid, meaning his name Shneir Zalman after the founder of Lubavitch Chassidim, and his parents, I think, were Chassidim of Tzemach Tzedek, and he moved to Yerushalayim and lived the last 10 years of his life there, which may be why the Tzitz Eliezer, and he had a Beis Din of Cholus Chassidim, which was separate from the original Beis Din for ordinary, Orthodox Jews in Yerushalayim. And he's buried in Har Zeitzim, so his Torah Chesed might have been available to the Tzitz Eliezer, and that's why he knew it. In any case, he apparently has a long discussion in which he says that it's allowed for somebody to put himself in a position where he's going to have to, later on, by force of the thing that he did, he's going to be forced not to observe a commandment or to violate a lotase in a halakhically acceptable way. So all of that leads to this to believe that yes, one is allowed to put oneself into a position where one is later going to have to violate Shabbat. I think there's more to discuss here, but it's not our job to discuss it. I think that, and he says all of that, is where it's clear that one is going to afterwards have to because of onus. And therefore, you could say that here, where it's not definite, it's only maybe, meaning, God willing, if this man becomes a firefighter for 30 years, and over those 30 years, there's never a call on Shabbos, or if it's a rotation, he's not the only one who's on call, and so when he's on call on Shabbos, there's never a fire, there's never a need for him to go, then it'll all be good. And to give another example of that, he points to a Chasam Sofer who says that a Kohen is allowed to become a doctor. I'm not ruling that. I don't think the Chasam Sofer would say that today. There's all sorts of questions today about how one becomes a doctor. But let's suppose, forgetting the training situation, let's suppose he already knows the knowledge and is able to be a doctor. But you could say, well, but he might be in a position where he's going to have to deal with people who have passed away. He's going to necessarily become Tamei. Maybe that's a violation of his kihuna, of his status as a Kohen. And he shouldn't put himself in that position. The Chasam Sofer says, no, he's allowed to. Because the moment that he becomes a doctor, now, it comes up today as a problem because today doctors have to deal with cadavers while they're being trained as doctors, and that's a whole different set of questions. There are those who are matir, those who allow it, those who don't allow it, whatever the discussion is, that's a whole different discussion than the one we're having here. Here it's just, let's suppose somebody is magically somehow already a doctor. Aren't they going to be around dead bodies, and shouldn't that be a violation of their kahuna? Chasam Sofer had said, at the moment that the person becomes a doctor, he's not doing anything wrong. And the fact that later on he will encounter somebody who is in the process of passing away, and he might even need to be there and to stay there for it, because there's no other doctor around, and the things that he can do to help this person in whatever way it is, so that is allowed, because the fact that he now does something that will later require him to do something else, that, Chasam Sofer says, is not an issue that he has to keep in mind. So too, Shlomo Kluger, in one of his many volumes of responsibilities, he gave different names to, so this one is called Shut Tuv Tam Vadat. He also has a long discussion that a Kohen is allowed, he says, allowed, forget being a doctor, Kohen could be what we might call what a nurse does today, or other kinds of service functions for those who are ill, even though, let's say I have, you know, this nurse, this man, or what, this commander, we're talking about a Kohen, this man has, you know, 20 ill patients on his ward, and it's a very serious, it's a ward where people pass away. So isn't this Kohen, by serving them, doing whatever it is that they need to do, which is an important mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, but isn't this Kohen putting himself into a position where he's going to become Tamei because they will pass away? Shlomo Kluger also felt very clear that was allowed. And that, he says, that was true, even if there might be other people who could do this job, or there's not. So if there's nobody else who can do the job, that's one situation you can say, oh, well, we're allowing it to him because the force of circumstance means he's the only person around who can do the job. But Shlomo Kluger said, even if it's true that there are other people who can do the job, but he just needs a job, and this is a way for this Kohen to make a living, and he has no other way to make a living, he thought that was fine as well. And if later it becomes necessary for this Kohen to help this person who's dying as they die, and to serve them and do things for them, that'll be necessary, because at the time, that'll be pikuach nefesh, that'll be saving lives, and whatever it is he'll be doing, and it'll be allowed. If that's true, in our situation as well, Tisileza says, he thinks there's room to say that for the necessity of learning a living, this man can take a job as a firefighter, and if it happens that he has to violate Shabbat for a reason of safek pikuach nefesh, maybe saving lives, because there's a fire and you don't know how far the fire is going to go, you don't know what's going on, so that's allowed. At that point, it becomes a situation of safek pikuach nefesh. Safek pikuach nefesh means that in halacha we say that it's not only true that we're allowed to violate Shabbat to save lives, we believe we're allowed to violate Shabbat to avert any danger which might possibly lead to danger, might possibly be a danger to life. That's safek pikuach nefesh. Not only do we violate Shabbat for pikuach nefesh, we violate Shabbat even if there's some reasonable doubt that there might be a problem of. So let's say somebody has an illness, right? And the illness is one that could be a life-threatening illness, but we don't know that it's now currently a life-threatening illness. We will treat that on Shabbat, even in ways that necessarily by Shabbat, because it's a fake pikuach nefesh, because it's the kind of thing that might lead to it. So that's what he's saying here too. Takes the job as a firefighter. At the moment he takes it, it's not necessarily pikuach nefesh, and the fact that later on it might turn out to be pikuach nefesh, he thinks that doesn't stop us from taking jobs. And that's comes up in other things as well. As I said before, it comes up most prominently, I think, in accepting and becoming a doctor in halakha today. As we saw the Chasam Sofer talk about it in terms of Kohanim, but in terms of people in general, that doctors very often have to violate Shabbat. So the need to violate Shabbat later on, this says, is not going to be a reason one can't take the job as a doctor. I think there's a lot more to be said about that because I don't know about the firefighting in Pardes Chana, but there could be other professions where there's still choices to be made about how much pikuach nefesh, I'm sorry, about how much chilul Shabbat one is going to necessarily put oneself in the position of having to do. I think that becomes an interesting question to think about, but it's not our topic today. So that's question number one. Can the man take a job as a firefighter knowing that in taking the job, he's going to put himself in a position of having to violate Shabbat for pikuach nefesh, for saving lives, or for suffering pikuach nefesh, or for perhaps saving lives? Perhaps saving lives means it could easily be true that that 5 times out of 10, 6 times out of 10, they get there and it's not a pikuach nefesh situation. This comes up today for, let's say, volunteer Hatzalah people. Volunteer Hatzalah members get a call on Shabbat. They violate Shabbat. They go to find out what's going on. Almost thank God in most of those cases, it's probably not a life-threatening thing. So that's true. If that's true, then you might say to yourself, well, how do you decide to become a Hatzalah volunteer when you're putting yourself in a position of violating Shabbat for non-life-saving purposes? So the answer is, we allow violating Shabbat even for Safek Bikuach Nefesh, and that's relevant to this firefighter as well. That's question number one. Question number two is, are you allowed to put out fires on Shabbat? Right? Are we allowed, do we treat fires as a suffek pikuach nefesh? And this other points out, this is really a prior question to the first one, because the whole premise of the first question was that these are pikuach nefesh, or life-saving situations, whereas the Mishnah and the Gemara don't quite see it that way. They see fire as a threat to economics, but not to life, right? So, yeah. So let's suppose, you know, an example of it could be, let's suppose you're standing over a sink in your home, and it's a metal sink, and a napkin catches fire. So the instinct is to put it out. But the truth is, if you just dropped it in the metal sink or the bathtub or wherever you are, if you just put it in a place where it's completely contained, it would burn itself out, and then you would not have been violating Shabbat by extinguishing a fire, and there would have been no threat to anything. So we think of fire often as inherently life-threatening, but in the Mishnah and Gemara, that wasn't true. And so how that happened? So the Rama in Or HaChaim, in Shin Lamidal, in the Lachos of Shabbos, he has a Chuma Sadesha and Nagos Ashri, who paskin, and based on that he paskin, that when we live among non-Jews, then we're allowed to put out fires on Shabbat because it is considered a threat to life. So he says it's among non-Jews because I think he thinks that non-Jews think of all fire as a deep threat to life. And since non-Jews think of all fire as a deep threat to life, if we didn't put out the fire, they wouldn't treat us well. They would see us as a threat to their society. They would see us as a problem. And the fact that they would see us as a problem means that we have to be very careful about it. Therefore, we have to put out fires, and therefore the pikuach nefesh isn't so much the fire, it's the reaction of the non-Jews to us by virtue of not putting out the fire. So that's what the Rama says. If we're living among non-Jews, we have to make sure to put out fires to maintain our good standing in the community. The Mishnah Berurah already, so this is hundreds of years later, the Mishnah Berurah, based on an Eliyahu Rabbah, which was an important halachic sefer that Poskim know, he says that that whole train of thought led to realize that we also put out fires in every place, even if we're not living among non-Jews, right? Let's say you have a completely separate Jewish community, or today, thank God, in Israel, you have many places where there are Jews living in, primarily it's Jews, and pretty much there are no non-Jews around. Nonetheless, we put out fires in those places, the Mishnah Berurah says, because you're never sure that there might not be somebody who's elderly or ill, who's not going to be able to run away, and therefore it becomes a situation of pikuach nefesh. Meaning, even up to the time of the Mishnah Berurah, which is the late 1800s, early 1900s, it's clear in halacha that if I have a completely contained fire that's only a threat to finances, to possessions, even if it's a lot of possessions, there's no permissibility of extinguishing that fire on Shabbat. The reason why we put out fires on Shabbat in the time of the Rama was because Here the Ramah seems to be saying that we don't even think it's a threat to life yet. We think it's a threat to life because the non-Jews around us will react badly, seeing that we don't care about putting out fires, especially if it's going to then burn up their houses. Meaning, everybody will run away, they know how to run away, nobody will die, but they'll say, look at those Jews. They started a fire, or a fire started in their neighborhood. It burned up their neighborhood, sure, but now it's burned up our whole neighborhood. Nobody got killed, but burned up our neighborhood. They didn't care about our money, and that will become a problem for the Jews living there. So that becomes a Pikuach Nefesh question, but not because of the fire, rather it's because of the reaction of the non-Jews. By the time of the Mishnah Berurah, they've added in the idea that, no, it really is a threat to life. But again, the reason it's a threat to life is because we worry that there are people who won't get out. They won't hear about it in time, they won't know about it in time, and I'm not questioning that, I'm pointing out the reasoning and the logic. There'll be somebody who's too old, somebody who's too ill, right? You could talk about babies, right? So because of that, a fire becomes a threat to life. He points out that the Mordechai, who's living in the 1200s, already wrote this idea. He says, in most places, people just put out fires on Shabbat, and he says that they don't really have any halachic rights to put out fires on Shabbat. So in the 1200s, the Mordechai does not see fires as a threat to life at all. He says, they say that they're worried that if the fire keeps burning, there'll be a baby that'll get caught in the fire because they won't know how to run away. And also that maybe the kingdom, right, the non-Jews around us will see what we're doing and they'll be upset with us. And also, an old person or a cholah. Now the Mordechai is not convinced by this. The Mordechai concludes his discussion by saying, and this is a Gemara's concept, a Talmudic concept of Hanach Lehem Yisrael, Mutav Shiyu Shogin V'Am Mizitin. There are places in halacha, topic of a Torah, I'm not making this a blanket comment, but there are places in halacha where we say, if people are doing the wrong thing, but we're not going to convince them to change, we don't say anything about it because it's better they do it not realizing that it's prohibited than that they do it even though it's prohibited, knowingly that it's prohibited. So Mordechai seems unconvinced by this reasoning. By the time of the Mishnah Berurah, we've accepted this reasoning, and that's what the Sefer just says. We've seen great Achronim, great Torah scholars, who accepted this idea that even though the Mordechai didn't accept it, by the time later on, maybe, you know, fire spread more, maybe people weren't used to it as much, maybe houses were closer together, maybe it was quicker, but in our times, we assume, so as it says, we assume that fires are a threat to life because of the people who can't get away, and therefore we're allowed to put it out to stop it from spreading. The Aruch HaShulchan added another reason to allow putting out fires. He says, you know, most houses today, which wasn't always true, are abut the Rishit HaRabim. They're right close to the public thoroughfares. And usually when something burns, pieces of the fire, coals or burning embers or ashes, go into the public, you know, will tear off and go into the public street. Meaning fires don't get contained into private realms. If you think of a farmhouse isolated from everything else and a farmhouse just starts burning, so that would be a question today as well, because once, as long as everybody gets out of the house and that's just a farmhouse, it's all it's going to do is burn that. Meaning today it might start a forest fire, it might then really spread and make terrible problems for everybody else, and that would get back to again, if the government knew, they would be upset with us. But let's suppose you had a completely isolated farmhouse and there's enough dry area around it that it will not spread. You can't know this today. This is completely theoretical. So there, halakhically, it would still seem to be true that one wouldn't be allowed to put it out on Shabbos. But the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, but we don't live in isolated places. We live right close to the Rishit HaRabim. We live right close to the public thoroughfare. There's halakha in the Gemara already that if you have a burning ember, something burning in the Rishit HaRabim, even if it's wood, you're allowed to put it out on Shabbat because of Nezek HaRabim. That's going to damage the general populace. So if that's true, that when you have a fire burning in a house or houses close to the Rishit HaRabim, if you don't put out the fire, lots of pieces of that fire will go into the public thoroughfare, and you have to put out each one of them. But you're not going to be able to put out each one of them, the Aruch HaShulchan says. So because of that, when we put out the fire in the private area, what we're really doing is we're proactively avoiding that problem. We're proactively putting out those pieces of it. We don't know which of those would have torn off, gone to the Rishit HaRabim, gone into the public place and allowed it. So that's another reason. In other words, so far we've had that the non-Jews will have a problem with us because we're leading to their financial ruin as well as our own. That's a pikuach nefesh issue. Then you have the question of elderly, ill, and babies who can't get away, and that's an actual pikuach nefesh issue. And the Aruch HaShulchan throws in, and you also have a well-established halacha that if pieces of the fire break off and go into the public area, that you're allowed to put those out, so you're allowed to do this as well. So he says, according to all this, we're allowed to put out fires because we don't know which fires are going to be what, right? That's a very important thing. We can't tell which fires will spread how far and this, and that becomes a very broad depends how broad you want to take it. It becomes a very broad permissibility of putting out fires, meaning I don't know how far it's going to go, and all these things come up. And then, so for this firefighter, when he gets called, he also can't know how far it's going to go, what it is, and therefore it qualifies, he thinks, in all of these things as pikuach nefesh. So for all these reasons, the Zilas thinks that it's okay for the man to do it. He, when he takes the job, is not certain he's going to have to violate Shabbat right then. There's no absolute certainty. There's a knowledge in general in the future, and that knowledge in general in the future, if it was Shabbos already, and it was for sure that it was going to have to happen, that's, for a mitzvah purposes, a debate. Here, since it's not on Shabbos, and it's not completely for sure it's going to happen, and when it comes up, it'll be pikuach nefesh issue, or something pikuach nefesh issue, perhaps pikuach nefesh issue, all of that allows this man to take this job to put out fires on Shabbat, because in our time, putting out fires on Shabbat in general, not every single fire, but many, many fires, become an issue of perhaps needing to save lives on Shabbat for all the reasons that we've said, that the non-Jewish people around us would be upset if we let their financial possessions burn up, because it's pikuach nefesh issue for the people who might not be able to get out of the fire, and because parts of the fire can go into the public thoroughfare and need to be put out anyway, and therefore we can, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, proactively put them out. So for all these reasons, he holds that it's allowed for this man to take a job as a firefighter and then to save lives, as will be necessary part of the job, and do his job well, and hopefully it won't come up. They need to save lives on Shabbat. And that is a responsive day for the 6th of Kislev. Have a great day.